So again, to reiterate, what does this book tell us regarding our God leaving or forsaking us? Or what is it? What does he say concerning God forsaking his people? As that hymn I quoted, it's how firm a foundation. What more can he say to you that he has said in his book? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. That word forsake is let alone. He will not let us alone. Deuteronomy 31. Like I said, this is, we're looking at like 11 verses or so, but there's many more specifically referring to what this Bible says regarding God forsaking his people. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, be strong and of good courage, fear not, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee, doth go with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That word means forsake, means to leave off. He will not leave us off. He will not leave off us. The same chapter, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. That is also leave off. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I, Jehovah, was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And that's the same word, to leave off. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I want us to look at all these, just making a point here. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 22. For the Lord, that is Jehovah, will not forsake his people for his great namesake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. That word forsake means to cast off. He will not cast off. He will not cast off his people because it pleased the Lord to make you his people. 1 Kings chapter 6. And verse 13. God says, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel. I will not forsake my people Israel. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Psalms 94. Psalms 94 and verse 14. Psalms 94:14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Isaiah 42, verse 16. Isaiah 42, verse 16. And I, God, will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We just finished this when we were in Hebrews. But reading it again is always a good thing. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, according to those who know so much more than I do about the Greek and the Hebrew and the original language, this in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, this is a, how would you say it? It's five negatives. Five negatives. No never, no never, no never. It's to assure his people that forsaking his people is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Come what may, it's assuring his people. I don't know if there's five negatives if used anywhere else or not, but it's used here in Hebrews. I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake thee. So that's the establishing Jehovah's truth. This is passage of Scripture to establishing Jehovah's truth to his people. Now I want to reaffirm this truth by asking, how often does our Heavenly Father need to say this to his dear children? How often does he need to tell us? Because oftentimes we live our life as though God's going to forsake us. Do we not? I don't know if I got enough money to cover bills. I don't know if I got enough money to cover this car payment. I don't know if anybody in here has ever said, I don't have enough money to get me some food as we go stop by the Cut Mart and get to pick up this and that and the other thing. How often does our Lord need to tell us this? Well, I just gave us 11 passages and explained what that word forsake and fail means. And we understand that this is an established truth for his people. So I reaffirm again, how often does our Heavenly Father need to say this to his dear children? Our God, the God of the Bible, who cannot lie, says. Our Redeemer, who has already conquered death for us. The great I Am, who spoke and the worlds were formed. Our elder brother, who sticks up for us at all times. Our substitute, who laid down his life for all and every one of his dear sheep. Our shepherd, who will care and protect his weak and frail flock. Our sovereign, who has us under his everlasting arms so that no man can pluck us out. So I reaffirm this truth using these names of Jehovah, the names of our Lord, to reestablish the truth of what he's already said. What more can he say to us than he has said in this word? But there's objections. We have objections. First objection, what about trials? I thought when you're a believer, we saw this yesterday when we were coming back from St. Louis, sitting there, and a lady pulled next to me, and right on the front, up or by the car door, it's, you know, where they have names like A.J. Foyt and stuff like that. You know, she had blessed. Blessed. And everybody misconstrues stuff with being blessed. But we have objections. The first one is, what about trials? Yes, we will have them. We're not exempt. Hard times? Yes. Times of weakness? Absolutely. Times that we lose loved ones very near and dear to us? Yes. Times of affliction? Of course. Demotion or promotion? Yes, yes, yes. The objection is laid to the Bible and says, but I have this, or Moses, I can't speak for you. And God says, I made your tongue. Paul says, I asked the Lord three times to get rid of this. And he said, my grace is sufficient. So the believer, we've got objections, but they're all met head on in the Word of God. Yet Mr. J.C. Ryle says, we trust him who is too wise to err and too loving to do us harm. Isaiah 58. Turn with me to Isaiah 58. And verse 11. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Well, let's just go through this, just the first part of this verse. Who's speaking? The Lord, Jehovah, the great I am, Yahweh, however you want to pronounce it, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, shall, not maybe, not if you're good enough to get his attention. No, our works are as filthy rags. Jehovah shall, not maybe. His shells are money in the bank. Shall guide. The Jehovah, Lord, shall guide, direct our steps. The casting of the lot, it says in Proverbs, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And he's for us and not against us. He will not forsake us or leave us. Thee, the Lord shall guide thee, us, his elect people, whom he foreknew. Continually. I like that word continually. Without detour, without interruption, without fail. So yes, we have trials. That's an objection. We have trials, difficulties. The more I visit family and see less family members to visit, it's very pointed to me that we're going to go the way of the earth. We're going to pass on. We're going to die. The believer, it's sleep. Sleep. So these objections are met. This first objection is met with the scriptures. And by faith, we're persuaded that he's able to do all that he's performed. The second objection, perhaps the most difficult, which my mind seems to be thinking about this, and J.C. Ryle just keeps, it seems to be where I'm at reading him, he just keeps bringing this up, so I've got to deal with it. That's an objection. What about my end? What about when I close my eyes in death? John chapter 21. I've never, ever looked at this way. Thanks to Mr. Ryle. That which I feared is a comfort. John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19. You remember he's speaking to the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Jesus Christ is back to with his disciples, and he's speaking to his disciples, and he says, lovest thou me, you know, to Peter, feed my sheep. Lovest thou, he's asked him three times. Peter's grieved. And he says the last time in verse 17, Peter says, you know I love thee. And Christ said to him, feed my sheep. And in verse 18 and 19, verily, verily, Christ said unto Peter, when you were young, you girdest thyself and walkest whither you would. But when you get old, Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake Christ, and he specifically tells us what he's talking about, so we don't have to guess, signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, Christ, he said to Peter, follow me. Our Savior knows our beginnings and our ends. And I'm not knocking physical fitness, but you ain't going to increase your life 1 second. So I'm not going to do anything. No, be responsible. But I'm saying, sometimes we think we're doing all this stuff and we're going to live. There's a day at which the Lord will call us, because he knows our beginnings and our ends. Peter, he's grieved that the Lord said to him, asked him, questioned him if he loved him. And then he goes right in and says, this is how you're going to die. Our Lord knows, predestinated everything that this man was going to happen. He has worked every detail to bring Peter to glory. Now, this is a scary passage in a sense, but it should be very comforting to the people of God. Know that everything is ordained and predestined and will work out for our good and his glory. He knows and directs our whole life and knows exactly when it will end, as here with Peter. We should not live in unbelief and fret and murmur or lose our head, but rather be assured that from birth to death, he will never, never forsake us. Now, humanly, if I had this kind of knowledge, it would be very depressing. If I knew exactly when I was going to go and I couldn't prevent it, but these things are not in our hands. They're in his hands, and we've established the truth that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But I found this last thought interesting. Look at what our Lord says to Peter. Impetuous Peter, froward Peter, sometimes unbelieving Peter. Does it sound like us? Does it sound like you? Does it sound like me? Look at what he says. He tells him how he's going to die. Which that would just blow my mind. But instead of fretting and worrying and everything, he says, follow me. Follow me. So when you're going to your job, or you're not going to your job, but when you're going to the store, whatever you're doing, we live in the realization that our days are numbered. But we also live in the faithful realization that he will never leave nor forsake us. So therefore, we follow him. This is the answer. Every situation, every trial, every difficult time, whether you're contemplating death, we spoke of prayer for brethren who have difficult situations physically. Follow Christ. It may be in a nursing home, and that's not what we want. But follow Christ. You think, he says, Peter, somebody's going to gird thee, and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. Follow Christ. And be at peace amongst yourselves. He truly leads his dear children along, as we sing in that song. So I tell myself, as I look at this, because it's easy to stand up here and just spout a few truths, but that's why we look at the scripture. That's why we look at so many scriptures. Maybe Deuteronomy blessed you. Maybe Joshua blessed you. Maybe Samuel blessed you. It's all over this book. He will not forsake his inheritance, his people whom he foreknew. So I tell myself and I tell us once more, follow Christ and trust him and his promise. As old Spurgeon would say, take this, any one of these passages, and appropriate that to yourself. Lord, I take this. and just realize, no never, no never, times three more no nevers. Will he forsake his precious children? Why? Because this book tells us. And if we are his heritage, if we are the inheritance, it's for us. May the Lord bless the reading and preaching of his word. Matt, would you close us, please?